It's 11 o'clock.
Seriously? 11 o'clock? Okay then, 11 o'clock, time to start. Welcome to Sunday Scattered from Beaver Parish. It's fantastic to have you with us in this strange and scary and stressful time that we're living through. It's just so good to meet week by week to chat to each other. And as per usual, if you want to check in, say hello. It would be fabulous to chat to you in the little chat box down the side. We can pray together, and if you would like to push the button here, if you would like to ask for prayer about anything in particular, don't worry, nothing scary will happen, just somebody will get back to you, and we'll offer to pray for any requests that you have. And it's just good to share. We'll have all sorts of stories today. We're going to go running around looking for different things. You'll not get to stay in your armchair too long. And hopefully at the end of it, you'll leave inspired and encouraged and ready to face another week. So we're going to start with worship. We're going to hand over to the Hudson family now. We're trying to debate what should we call them. The Hudson Collective Experiment, the Hudson 3, we don't know, but all we know is that it's so good to have them leading us in worship, and so we're going to hand over to them now for our first hymn.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Hudson's, for leading us in worship. Now, if I can get the technology to work, hopefully behind me right now is a beautiful sunrise. The reason for that is today we're thinking a bit about that little phrase, it dawned on me. Now, usually when I use that phrase, it's because I've just suddenly realised something I had forgotten. I remember a time I was driving through right through the city centre of Belfast. The car just completely conked out on me, and it dawned on me that I had filled a petrol car with diesel. Or I can remember another time standing at the checkout at the supermarket. I'd put all my stuff through, built up a massive bill, and it dawned on me that I didn't have my wallet with me. So usually when you use that phrase, it means you've had all of the jigsaw pieces and suddenly the dawn breaks. Everything fits together in that moment of clarity. So have a little think about any time that anything has dawned on you as we make our way through the service today. Now, after our service today, we're going to try something new this week. We're going to have a Zoom virtual Sunday club. So here to tell you all about that are Catherine and then Olivia.
Thanks, Chris. Good morning, everyone, especially all the boys and girls who are here with us today. We are just about to jump down the rabbit hole that is Virtual Sunday Club. Sunday Club Scattered is at 12 o'clock today, and you can join us via Zoom. If you haven't already sent your email address to me at Beaver, then you can still do that before we start today. If you can send your email address to catherine@beaverparish.co.uk, I can still send you the link before we go into the Sunday Club this morning. We're going to be doing a craft there this morning, and if you want to be ready for that, you're going to need your strips of paper. You need 5 of those. You also will need pens or pencils, some glue or some tape, and some scissors, and possibly a grown-up, depending on how your motor skills are. There's going to be some worship afterwards as well, and that is going to be on Facebook, so everybody is welcome to join us in that. Enjoy the rest of the service, and we will see you at 12 o'clock.
Hi guys, hope everyone's okay. As Catherine's just mentioned, the Sunday Club are going to be doing a Zoom call at 12 o'clock after the service, so the 11-14s are going to give it a go as well. So stay tuned, and I'll see you very soon.
Anybody that wants to join the Zoom, just email me at oliviamcmin13@gmail.com.
Thank you, guys. Now, while you're looking for your scissors and paper and all of that kind of stuff, if I can give you one more thing to look for as well, could you just see if you can find some candles and matches again? We are going to use them at the start of our prayers later on. Now, just in case you're thinking that I have completely forgotten about our video challenge for the actions to my lighthouse, of course I haven't forgotten. But not yet. Just make sure you stay tuned, and you're going to see that later on in our service. But for now, it's time to hand over to Tracy, who's going to bring us our reading today. And just see if you can keep your eyes open for that little "it dawned on me" moment.
This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, the dawning of faith. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 11 kilometres from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognising him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels, who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Good morning, everyone. Service is going really well this morning. I hope you're enjoying it. Thanks, Tracy, for reading to us. We'll have a look at Luke chapter 24 in just a wee moment or two. But we've got some good news to get us off to a start here. We've had two baby boys born in the parish this week. First one, maybe we could put a wee picture up, please. The first one, Joanne and Michael Jemison, had this little baby this week. They sit over on the left, over Rodney's side, along with Joanne's mum and dad, Alice and Brian. He's gorgeous, isn't he? Okay, could we stick the other picture up, please? And this is Benjamin Gary. He's the newborn baby boy of Laura and Chris Shepherd, and they also sit over this side, and Janice and Gary, grandparents. And so imagine if you're sitting over there when we all get back together, there's going to be a bit extra noise. So beautiful as well, another lovely baby. I'm wondering, is it possible to put both pictures up? And I'd like to pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these two little babies. Would you protect them and keep them? Help them to grow strong and well. Be with Joanne and Michael, please, with Laura and Chris, and give them the skills and the strength and the energy that they're going to need in these days. Lord, with restrictions on visiting and everything else, we pray for the wider families and ask that you would keep them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, Luke chapter 24. This is very exciting. It's the story that Tracy read to us is part two of a trilogy. You had the first part the other week when we looked at the women who arrived at the tomb. Remember, we showed you a painting, and one of the points was that as they looked into the tomb, their faces and the front of their clothes was in darkness and shadow, because the angel told them that Jesus has gone ahead of them to Galilee. This second story of these two disciples walking to Emmaus. Emmaus is a little commuter town outside Jerusalem, and they were walking away on the same day, and they were walking back home, and they're walking into the west. So it's early evening, and they're walking into the setting sun. The light is on their faces, but yet they don't immediately recognize Jesus. Now there is a process going on here. The third story that we come to happens the same day, and it's when those disciples come back to Jerusalem to tell everybody that they have met the resurrected Christ. And in that upper room, Jesus appears, and they all get to see him together. Now notice the progression from looking into the darkness and not seeing anything to walking into the light and only seeing partially until this moment of revelation, and then this moment when they all get to see Jesus together. Luke has put these stories together deliberately in this way. As he records the stories, we have to believe that he is sending a message to us. And the message is one of increasing revelation, of seeing who God is. And in this little trilogy, that's exactly what happens. Trilogies are important in the Bible. When you see stories clumped together like this,
Like the stories of the lost coin, lost sheep, and lost son, they are telling us something that is right at the heart of who God is. God being three in one. There's something about these things when they're clumped together in threes like this. So this really is an important progression for us to grasp this morning of the of gradually seeing more and more of who God is. So that's the question that I want to throw at us today. And there's going to be two parts to this little talk this morning. And in closing this first part, that's the question. Are we seeing Jesus? Are we seeing God in the days in which we're living? Are we seeing him at work in an increasing way? Are we learning more and more about him? I think it's fascinating at the minute that our world is sharing one big story. I don't know if that's ever happened before, that we all share the same story and that we're all on the same side of it. That we realise that what we do affects all the other nations, negatively or positively, and it applies to all of us. And therefore, there's something about this shared story together that is God in here somewhere? We're also seeing something that finds its heart in Calvary, of self-sacrifice and of giving of our lives. Some people taking the risk of putting themselves at risk for the sake of others. We're very thankful to them, and yet again, we go on being thankful, but there's something of Calvary love being displayed at the minute. What about the sharing of resources and the multiplication of resources? Aren't we longing in so many ways that little will become much in all sorts of aspects of the life of our National Health Service and of our care agencies and of our food and everything else? Something of what God does in the Bible actually has to happen again in these days. We're very conscious that many people feel very isolated. And certainly in the isolation of the hospital and the intensive care unit, isn't there something of Gethsemane in there? Of crying out to God when you're on your own? And of God hearing and ministering as he did to Jesus in that Gethsemane garden? And what about resurrection? As people come out the other end of this thing, as people come off those respirators, as people come out from under anaesthetics, as people are pushed in wheelchairs down corridors in hospitals and out through doors into the sunlight, there's something of resurrection going on. Are we capturing God? Are we seeing God? Are we feeling that growing sense of seeing God in our lives and around us at the minute? I'd like just to, if the tech guys can put that up on the screen and leave that wee line there, are we seeing God? And let's ponder on that for about 30 seconds, because I want somebody, if you're on your own, you have to do it yourself. If you're with other people, you can send someone to go and do it. I'd like you all to go and find a piece of bread. Because I'm sitting at the dinner table here today for a reason, that the second part of this story happens at a dinner table. So up you get and go and get something, a biscuit, cracker, piece of bread, anything like that, and bring it back, and I'll see you in about 30 seconds. Something I found a bit of a waffle, so let me just put that on the plate there. This second part of the story happens around a dinner table where the two disciples invite Jesus to come in and sit with them, and something dawns on them as they're eating here. Do you remember the women were looking into the tomb, and it was dark. And these two disciples have been walking into this sunset, but not quite seeing. The third story is of the group of disciples in the upper room, and they meet Jesus, the whole lot of them, together. But this story in the middle, there's a dawning. Something dawns on these disciples. Now, I need to tell you a couple of wee things just about the background to these stories. One is that Luke records for us that all three of these stories happen on the first day of the week. Luke 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week. In verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. And later on that evening, while there was verse 36, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. It's on the first day of the week. That's really important. The Jews have believed that when the Messiah comes, it would be like a new creation. If you think of the first creation, all of this story was 7 days of the week. That the new beginning would happen like the first day of a week. And that's exactly what Luke tells us. It was the first day of the week. Easter Sunday, of course, we would now know that as. But the significance of the first day of the week is great. This is the beginning of a new world. It's like that hinge in the middle of the Bible there is where the old stops and the new begins. The new kingdom is inaugurated. The kingdom in which sin and separation from God has been dealt with on the cross. Death has been dealt with. The old ways have been dealt with. The new has come. There is a new kingdom. There is a new monarch on the throne. And the process has begun that will take us to the new heaven and the new earth. And that's what dawns on these disciples. And it dawns on them at a meal. Now, you couldn't possibly know this. I never knew this until this week when I was reading something and researching a bit of this story. That in the up until Good Friday, Luke records that Jesus records seven meals that Jesus has with people. The final meal is the Last Supper. And then the events of Good Friday, when this hinge, this turning into the new world begins. And isn't it fascinating that for these disciples, the new dawning happens not just on the first day of the week, but on the first meal of the new era. It's the eighth meal. There have been 7 days. There have been seven meals. And the new era is ushered in with a new meal. Of course, we will then go on to interpret that as communion. That is then celebrated in churches all over the world. Some of them every day of the week, some of them on the first day of the week. That new meal. And today, I've asked you to get a piece of bread because I thought symbolically we could just, this isn't a communion service, but that we could live the moment of this story by the bread. And it says that this is the first new meal. On the first day of the new week, and the beginning of everything, that as Jesus breaks this, it dawns on them who's with them. Let it dawn on us today that the presence of the living God is with us. That may be a new idea for some of you, and if you're watching this and thinking, oh, I never thought of that. Today, could I invite you to just open heart and mind. And we will sing a prayer in a few moments where we will invite Jesus into our lives. We're going to sing, Open Our Eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him and tell him we love him. And if this isn't new to us, we've been doing this maybe for many years, could I invite it to be newly lit in our lives and just let it dawn on us again that God is with us, God is in us, that he's all around us. And the symbol of that, of course, is that that Jesus gave the bread to the people around him. And if you're with people, please feel free to give them a bit. If you're on your own, just do like I'm doing. Take a piece of the bread as a symbol of receiving and recognizing or dawning that Jesus is with us. Let's just eat it. And as we receive this bread symbolically, we also want to say to Jesus, that we want to receive him. So I'm going to ask now, Michelle, would you just lead us on into that prayer?
Amen, and thanks again to the Hudson Family Band for leading us in our worship. Now it's time for our prayers, and so if you find a candle and some matches, now's the time to get them ready. We'll light our candles simultaneously as a little physical symbol of turning to God in prayer, asking him to lighten our darkness. Now our prayers today are led by Rodney, taking a brief break from finishing his dissertation, and I'm sure he'll kill me for telling you this, but Rodney is now in the middle of his curacy round. So this is the process when all the different parishes and churches and possible futures for Rodney are opening up, and big decisions have to be made. So even as Rodney's leading us in our prayers, I hope we can all be praying for him in these coming weeks as those big choices are made. So together we light our candles and we turn to God in prayer.
Loving God, you are the King of this world. You are in control, and we worship you. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. We pray for our family and friends, people who we love, who we cannot see face to face right now. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. In a time when the world is in turmoil, we know that you are an ever constant and that you will not change. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. Now when we are scattered but together, we pray for our church family in Beaver. Things are different, but we are continuing. May you guide all that is happening remotely so that we can remain connected and surrounded by your love. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. Lord God, we continue to pray for those in the National Health Service, our doctors and nurses, the cleaners and caterers, those who look after residents in care homes, and those who are providing frontline services by providing all that we need. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. Lord of all healing, we pray for those whom we know who are ill, be it with the coronavirus or any other ailment. May they know your healing touch on their lives. May they experience your arms surrounding them, and that they will know that you are with them, no matter what they are going through. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. For all those who have been bereaved, Heavenly Father, we ask that you comfort them in their distress. Bereavement is difficult at any time, but at present it is even more so. We ask that you hold those who have lost loved ones in your arms, and that as days progress, they may know and experience you as they come to terms with their loss. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. Lord Jesus, while you were walking on the road to Emmaus, the disciples did not know you. They were too caught up in what was happening to realize you were with them. May we in this world be ever mindful that you are a present help, that you are with us, and that we can depend on you. Let us never be too preoccupied with what is going on around us that we ignore you, as it eventually dawned on the disciples who you were. May we be ever ready to lean on you as our Lord and Saviour. Lord of all, dawn into our lives. Heavenly Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your only Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we conclude our prayers by praying together, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. So folks, we're coming to the end of our service now. I hope you are enjoying. I know it's weird that we're seeing each other through screens, but I am just finding it so powerful and so helpful week by week to join with you, to chat with you, and to know that we're all praying together, being inspired together, that we are still a community, even through these strange times. We're now going to come to our final hymn, and for that, I need to do a little bit of fancy footwork and bring you out to the summer house. There we go. Because how can I introduce this hymn anywhere other than beside my lighthouse? So, this is the one some of you have been waiting for. We asked, you answered. Some of you have sent in videos of your actions. They're all going to be part of our worship together now. So, whether you're in the videos or not, whether you're doing the armchair aerobics or not, join in with this song. Make this your prayer of trust and love to the God who is our strong rock in the fiercest of storms, my lighthouse.
Morning everybody, feel free to stand up, get your arms loose and join in the actions.
Oh,
That was great. I'm exhausted just watching that. Now, we're nearly finished, so just a couple of reminders. If you want to join in with Sunday Club Zoom, make sure and follow the instructions that you were given earlier. That'll be happening almost directly after this service. Zooms, huddles, choir, WhatsApp groups, all these things are happening right throughout the week. If you'd like to be part of any of those, just call a number, talk to any of the people you know in any of those. We've had a couple of people join our huddle this last couple of weeks. I think they've been enjoying themselves. And finally, worship continues tonight, 7 o'clock. Click in through however you got to hear. The last time we did that, we had a great time. It's a great opportunity to set aside some time just to be still before God, join in with the worship, listen to the songs, spend some time just being quiet and still. It's all very encouraging. Now, a verse from the scriptures that we read earlier. The disciples ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up, returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it is true, the Lord has risen. And it is true. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds, the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Amen.